We kick off hour number three. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. You can find the location nearest you at goldsgym.com. Just go to the website and check out their locations tab there. And there's probably one near you. Even if you're streaming out of state, there's a Gold's Gym near you. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. And as always, you can try Gold's Gym for free with the free three-day VIP pass. I feel like the Gold's Gym tip of the day should be something about recovering, or I mean, if they were tired,
finish.
I don't know. Davey, you got one for
always
us over there?
Finish.
Well, it was going to be don't skip multiple workouts. So it's kind of like a taking a day off.
Wait, don't
skip multiple. So basically, looking forward, we took off Sunday. So you don't want to take off whenever we play again on Friday. But as it actually relates to fitness, never try to go more than 2 days in a row without exercise of some sort, unless you're sick or you've been injured. And I mean, this kind of, I would say, applies to whenever you maybe go on a vacation too. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to get in the gym, but just stay active. If you're just sitting in a place where you can do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, just try to get the heart rate extended, keep it up. But yeah, so don't skip two in a row. Hopefully Tennessee does not skip two games in a row this Friday once we play Colgate.
That'd be great if they did not skip that.
It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. I like the bracket. I like the matchups. We're in the South. It's Tennessee Colgate in the 2:15 game. Winner gets Cincinnati Iowa. If you win that one, obviously you're on to the Sweet 16. That would be in Louisville, Kentucky, as you would take on the winner of the Villanova, St. Mary's, Purdue, or Old Dominion pod. And then if you win that first round of the Sweet 16, you would most likely face, in this order, Virginia, Kansas State. There's Ole Miss and Oklahoma there. Wisconsin's the 5 seed. I mean, it really shapes up nicely. I mean, Cincinnati might be kind of a tough for a 7 based on kind of the way they were able to finish off their conference tournament, the fact that you're in, you know, you're close to their school, but I mean that's still pretty soft complaints compared to what you could have gotten. I mean there were some really hot teams that could have been, like Iowa State, I think got a 6. Like, I was afraid that maybe if they didn't factor in the Big 12 championship, that maybe they get a 7, and all of a sudden you're playing like one of the hottest teams from that conference.
Was it last year we beat them by 20, or was that 2 years ago?
Who?
Iowa State. I want to say they were our Big 10
last year. James Daniel III had a great day.
That's right.
I mean, we saw all those brackets with Syracuse in it, you know, in those groups, which we weren't a fan of there. You know, Florida State was a team I was, you know, you kind of worry about getting in kind of that 3-4 range. They're not around. Like, it's you play, getting Purdue as the 3 is pretty incredible. I mean, you're either, if you get to the Sweet 16, you either play Purdue, who you match up really well against, or they've been beaten and you get a lower seeded team.
I know we usually look at this with the view of Tennessee, but just to take a step back and look at the grander picture, what was your all's first impression of the bracket overall?
Yeah, about what I expected, really. I mean, I didn't have like a blown away take, really. Didn't seem like there were too many surprises. You? Big surprises?
I was kind of surprised Belmont got in. That was the first thing, especially because they got announced early. But I was happy to see that. I was frustrated with the Pac-12 even from the Saturday night, because Oregon freaking steals a bid by winning their game. But in terms of like the balance, I actually thought it was pretty good this year compared to some others. I know, Davey, you kind of think one region might be tougher than the others. There's been some years though where you look at it and one region's just cake, and you're like, what are they thinking? I didn't have that reaction at all. So, you know, one might be tougher than the other, but you're always kind of going to get that. Which one did you think was the hardest?
I thought the West was by far the hardest. I mean, when you're looking at it, you got Gonzaga. Their first game is, once they beat the 16 seed, they're probably going to have to play Syracuse, which I know you just mentioned. That would be difficult. I think, like, the Marquette-Murray State game, both those teams are really playing well. Florida State's looking good. Buffalo, Texas Tech, Nevada with Michigan and Florida. I thought that was by far the most difficult bracket.
Well, you're probably right, but that makes sense. I mean, Gonzaga ended up being the worst one seed, so for them to have the toughest path, you know, at least kind of makes sense. Because you do think Gonzaga, like, you would have ranked Gonzaga fourth out of those one seeds, right?
Yes.
So
I know a lot of people were kind of not happy with it, but I do believe that the ACC was deserving of 3-1 seeds after everything panned out on Sunday. Lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Tennessee beats Kentucky, so they're out. And then Auburn beats Tennessee, so they're out. I mean, it was kind of just what they were left. And then, obviously, Gonzaga losing St. Mary's. I mean, it just, like, obviously Virginia and North Carolina lose, but everybody who was in contention for a one seed behind them also lost.
I mean, if Tennessee wins, and you think, you know, I would have had to, I don't know, I'd have had to be in the room and compare Gonzaga and North Carolina. I never really made that call, which one I thought would be better. But let's say I end up with North Carolina at 5 and Tennessee at 3. I could easily just move Tennessee to the 1 in the Midwest and then bump North Carolina to the 2 in the Midwest and then move Kentucky from the 2 in the Midwest to the 2 in the South, and my bracket's done. Tennessee's a 1 seed, but I'm not even sure that that's better for Tennessee. I'd probably have to slide Auburn around because of the conference stuff. Maybe. I don't know. That'd be an Elite Eight game, so maybe, or a Sweet 16 game, so maybe not.
I thought Kentucky, I mean, just mentioning them, like, if once they beat Abilene Christian, whether they have to play Seton Hall or Wofford, I think they're going to have their hands full.
Didn't Kentucky lose to Seton Hall?
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that really weird to put that as a second-round game?
A little bit, yeah. Nothing. I mean,
I guess they're the lower-seeded team, so maybe that doesn't matter. I mean, it's probably going to be Kentucky-Wofford, and I kind of feel bad for the Terriers because any of these other, like, they would have had a much better shot, I think, against Michigan or Michigan State. Having to play Kentucky with the physical disadvantage you kind of face in that one will be tough for a mid-major. But, like, Houston was hot. I mean, you know,
Cincinnati.
Yeah, but I'm still much rather have Purdue than Houston if I'm Tennessee.
Yeah.
So that was good. I'd much rather have Purdue than Texas Tech. I mean, even some of these 4 seeds, I think, I'd still give me Purdue. So that works.
No, I love the fact that it could be Purdue. Like, all right. I know, who was it? Was it Lenardi has Purdue in the Final Four? Again, like, Michigan and Michigan State kind of ran the Big Ten this year, but they also had some bad losses, so I don't know how really good they are. I think Purdue is good. I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I think Tennessee's better, and I think that our style of play just kind of matches up well with Purdue. I mean, again, the Big Ten all year, we've kind of made a joke about it. They don't score a lot. They're kind of slow. They're not overly athletic. I think Tennessee can get out and run a little bit on Purdue. And I think that Purdue's style of play is one that, you know, they're not going to sit out and bomb 43s. They're going to try to go inside to the big man. They're going to try to run offense. We do better when a team like Purdue tries to be a little bit slower paced, a little bit more methodical. I just think that plays right into our hands.
I mean, I'd take Purdue as our 3 over every 4 in the bracket, I think. Maybe Kansas State, which is the 4 in the South, so... but I mean, I would rather play Purdue than Florida State.
Of course. Yeah.
They're a 4.
100%.
I mean, I'd rather play Purdue than Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Yeah. Virginia Tech, they got a player, Kerry Blackshear. He's the real deal.
And I'd rather play Purdue than a rematch with Kansas, even though they're, you know, a different team now. So, it's about as good as it gets. I know, you know, Rick Butler kind of crafted the tweet that is kind of what I think when Tennessee fans will complain about this draw. It's just basically like looking for the bad, the worst case in every scenario. It's like, oh, so we play a team that shoots great.
Well, after Sunday, I don't know that I blame anybody for kind of having that mindset.
Tennessee plays a team in the first round that shoots a really good percentage from three. In the second round, faces a team that's in their backyard. In the third round, could face the defending national champions. I mean, but that's like picking Villanova as, you know what I mean? It's just like kind of looking for the worst case. Go to the phone lines and bring on Cole. Get his thoughts. 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. What's up, Cole?
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. Big fan. I listen to you guys all the time. I never called in, but I'm a Pennsylvania guy and I go to school in New York, so I'm not really a...
Well, welcome aboard, Cole. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, Houston is my, biggest Tennessee fan in the Northeast, so Houston's Twitter feed is kind of my...
Cheers, buddy.
...my go-to. Anytime I can't get in front of the thing, that's my source of all things. All things Knoxville. But,
that's kind of scary, Cole.
Checks in the mail,
that's
Cole.
That's kind of scary,
Shut
Cole.
Up, Nate. Let the man talk.
Sorry. No, I just wanted to call in because, oddly enough, I grew up like 10 minutes away from Bucknell, which Tennessee's not seeing, but Tennessee is seeing the team that beat him in the finals in Colgate. And I was just wondering, it seems like we're putting a lot on like Purdue and what happens if we play Virginia. I just want to see if you guys had any concerns maybe about the Colgate game because being a Bucknell guy, I watched them play the finals, and I think they shot something like 57% from three-point range and 57% for the game or something like that. That seems like the kind of thing that tennis usually struggles with, these teams that just hoist up a lot of threes. And so I don't know if you guys had any concerns the initial game.
Cole, they shoot really well, but they're not a team that's going to shoot, you know, 35 or 40 of them a game typically. So
I did see they only shot like 21, I think. So I think they were like 12 or 21.
Yeah,
like, or
I mean,
like that.
Yeah, percentage wise, they're good. But when we talk about kind of their defensives, you know, like if they shoot well, they shoot well, but they're not going to be able to do to us defensively what Auburn was able to do. Like, I think Tennessee's going to be able to score a lot on Colgate. I think Tennessee can kind of dictate this game. They're not as athletic as Auburn, so I don't think they're going to be as open as some of these Auburn players were. And I think Tennessee just also kind of ran into a buzzsaw. Also, like, they're a 15 seed. I know everybody's nervous about teams that shoot threes. Tennessee should be able to handle Colgate. If we lose to Colgate, we have a very, very serious problem.
Yeah. Cole, just going off of your question, Blake Topmeyer put out an article that was just talking about Tennessee versus Colgate in the first game matchup of the NCAA tournament for the Vols, and he said that Colgate won each of its conference tournament games by at least 10 points, and Colgate brings an 11-game winning streak into the NCAA tournament. As far as the high major competition that they played this year, they lost to Syracuse, South Florida, Penn State, and Pittsburgh, all of which those games were double-digit defeats.
Penn State not very good.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, being a Pennsylvania guy, Penn State is not a good team.
Yeah, not this year.
Yeah, no, not since the Taylor battle back in, I don't know, whenever he was there, they were decent. But,
right.
And then I was just like, off of that, even if it's not the Colgate, it seems like, you know, later down the road when we play these three-point shooting teams, it seems like once they start really, you know, putting it on us, Barnes likes to go into the zone. That seems like something maybe, I mean, I don't know. He knows more about basketball than I do, but maybe going into earlier to stop some of these runs from going on these 9, 12, 15-point runs where teams are hitting 3 and 4 in a row, maybe mixing the zone in more.
Yeah, it's interesting, Cole, because normally, you know, you don't want to play zone against better shooting teams. I feel like he just does that in some of the games where Tennessee's struggling just to do something different. But I'd actually like to see them not play as tight off the ball against these better shooting teams so that you're not having to chase as much. When you come to help, you can be seeing the ball and ready to close out better against shooters. So and they did that some last year. I know they've played that style before on defense, but it'll be interesting to see if they adjust and try and play that style against, you know, probably not against Colgate, but like, I mean, Virginia's in the bracket, and if you want to talk about a really good run for Tennessee, if you're in a region final playing against Virginia, who's they don't shoot a ton either, but they're the most offensively efficient team in the country, and they obviously can get super hot from three. It'll be interesting to see what take Barnes goes with against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, all right. I mean, well, thanks for having me on, guys. I gotta run the class, but kind of a big day for me.
There you go. Thanks for
Cole,
the call.
Thanks for the call,
Appreciate
man.
It.
Don't be late to class. We encourage education, so.
Big Patriot League guy out there. Bucknell, Colgate. I'm looking at the Colgate stats. They score 75.8 points a game. Davey mentioned that they have been beating the Patriot League teams by over 10, but all the big teams they've played, they've lost by more than 10.
Yeah, against Bucknell in the Patriot League championship, they shot 30 of 52 from the field for 57.7% rating and from 3, 12 of 21. Which puts you at 57.1% from 3 in their last game.
Against who?
Bucknell.
Hopefully we can play better defense than Bucknell, right?
You would hope so.
I mean, that's just, that'd be really bad.
Their leading three-point shooter by percentage is their 6'10 forward.
Rapalus Avinaskas.
Yeah.
He's the Patriot League Player of the Year.
He's their leading scorer.
Can you say that name one more time?
Rapalus Avinaskas.
So we got to watch out for that guy.
Makes me think of Dodgeball when they're like, Franz Nalinakovic. You know, she was like the best player in the Romanian Dodgeball League.
Mm. He takes usually between like 2 and 6 threes a game and, you know, makes a couple of them. So he's not, you know.
52.3% on his field goal attempts for the year, including a 43.4% mark from the three-point line.
How tall is he?
6'10".
Kyle going to get out there and get
I kind of thought, you know, in my head, anytime you play a 15, you kind of think you're going to be the taller, faster, quicker team. It is going to be kind of interesting. Like, is this guy good enough to where Kyle, like, can't guard him?
Oh, God.
I don't want to do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I was looking at a team picture, and they look exactly like Loyola Chicago.
Loyola Chicago didn't have a 6'10 guy.
I mean, they're sitting
down. Maybe
now.
They did.
Fantastic.
They had that big guy. Yeah, okay. They had that one big guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Great. What was the guy's name who killed us? Like Dunkel or something? Does that sound right?
I don't know.
Wasn't it Dunkel?
Was it?
I don't know. I thought so.
I don't want to think about this.
You gotta be better.
I tweeted it out. At least it's behind us. But March 17th is not a good day for the Vols. It's when you lost to Loyola last year. You got destroyed by Auburn yesterday.
We're not good on St. Paddy's Day.
So.
We're just not.
Catch grief.
But it's behind us now.
They're a second best three-point shooter. Who's their third leading scorer. He's a 6'8 forward. So they have a lot of kind of inverse offense.
So it's like Auburn with big guys who step out and hit the three?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He went 6 of 11 in a game last week.
If you're looking
from three, not from the that was from three, not from the floor.
A Tennessee
link. 26
for these two teams.
They're bigger than us. What the hell is going on? Will Raymond is his name.
I'm not worried about it.
No. I'm telling you, it's the Auburn quickness that gives us trouble.
I agree.
They penetrate the defense, force it to get misshapen, and then the kick, and then you're just in trouble. Not to mention the turnovers leading to transition threes. Like, Colgate's not going to be out getting transition three looks. Or they shouldn't, unless, like you said, on Cole's call. If that's happening, anybody's beating us that day, right?
Anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a Tennessee link, John Painter has served as Colgate's Director of Athletic Communication since 2012 after nearly 11 years working for Tennessee's Athletics Department. Did you know him, Houston?
Mm-mm.
No. During his time at UT, he was a primary football contact for Coach Philip Fulmer. Columbia, Tennessee native.
So, Colgate has a guard named Jordan Burns. 6 foot, 175 out of San Antonio. All right. 15.8 points a game.
6 foot?
6 foot. 15.8 points a game, 5.8 assists.
Bones v. Burns. Mm-hmm. Almost said Bones. You can call him Bones. It's a good nickname.
He takes a bunch of threes, too.
I don't know if they have a lot of threes.
I said he takes a lot of threes.
I know. I'm saying that guys, he might, but as a team, I don't think they do. Just good percentage.
Are we sure about that?
I don't know.
Did we check?
I thought so.
Okay.
I thought I read that. I didn't, like, fact check it. Probably should have. Let's see. The Colgate Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the team stats here. One moment.
Searching is always great. Yeah, like
on the season, they've attempted 786 threes.
Okay.
So just keep that number in mind, because now I'm going to go find Auburn and see what Auburn shot on the year. Someone do the math on how many threes that is, like, per game. What'd I say, 786?
I think I...
Way to remember that number, guys. I did say 786. I was testing you.
Wait, what does it say? 20?
786 for Colgate, and on the year, Auburn, again, just trying to compare how many threes a given team shoots, Auburn has attempted 1,012.
Okay.
So, I don't know. If Auburn attempts 20 threes a game on average, which is more than that, then Colgate would be at?
No. Auburn shoots 30.
30 a game?
Mm-hmm.
So Colgate's probably at, let's see, 80% of that. So, 25?
23.3.
Okay. So their number is about 11 to 12 threes a game. Play a little bit better defense. Get out and run a little bit. Should be fine.
You think they shoot more in this game because they can't get the twos?
Probably.
But they can't get to those spots where they're taking
Wouldn't
twos?
You?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll try. I hope we can get by these guys. I hope they can't defend us is my hope.
Right, yeah.
That's the big deal.
Surely.
Maybe we can get their big guy in foul trouble, the three-point. Say his name, Davey, one more time. Zabrabribrakskis.
Robolus Avanaskovich. No, that's not right. I don't have it in front of me.
Ropolis?
Avanauskas.
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 Ropolis?
Ropolis.
Ropolis.
R-A-P-O-L-A-S. R-A-P-O-L-A-S.
The Gropolis.
Rapolis.
Rapala?
Rapolis. Ropolis.
Spell it.
Rapolis. I think it's Rapolis. It's got spell R-A-P-O-L-A-S.
There's a fishing Rapolis. Company called Rapala.
Avanauskas. Ivan. Then A-U-S-C.
I mean, I don't, okay. I don't need, like, the spelling. A-S. I just like
so
the way
like
it sounds.
So it's like Ivan, then with an A-U.
Yeah, man,
to make
I got it.
Owl sound.
I got it.
Yeah, and then the S-K and the A-S on the end.
You done? Any other names you want to spell on this roster?
Burns.
I got Burns, man.
In case you haven't seen DJ Burns list anywhere. Will Raymond. With an A.
This is a great segment by you.
R-A-Y-M-A-N. We're just breaking down Colgate.
Anyone else interesting?
We had Cole, you know.
Anyone else interesting in there?
No, most of the rest of these names are pretty standard.
Can you spell dumbass for me?
You should have said, like, Dumas or something.
He was supposed to send that to break. That would have been so perfect.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. They've been completely redone by Triphase Construction. For all your commercial construction needs, check out TriphaseConstruction.com. So we're not worried about Colgate. Is that what we've decided?
Nah.
Okay.
Are we? Should we really be worried about a 15?
No. I think you take the approach like you said. If you lose to the 15, you were just done already.
It was over before it started, you know? Yeah. That's where I'm at. I just think if we're worried about that, and also worrying about it's not going to do anything. This team, obviously if they lose to Colgate, it's a disaster. But
right.
I don't think you should go into – I think you should go into the game with respect for Colgate.
Yeah, you
but
better.
I don't think we need to be like fretting Colgate.
I got some statistics on the 2 versus 15 if you all want them.
Okay.
Yep. Let's hear it.
Only 8 times in 34 years has a number 2 seed lost to a 15 seed. 3 of those 8 losses came in 2012 and 2013. However, since then, 18 of the 20 meetings have been decided by double figures. The only upset in the past 5 years was Middle Tennessee's 90-81 decision over Michigan State in 2016. When the Spartans were a popular pick to win the national title.
Okay.
Colgate.
Not bad.
Colgate has played a lot better recently. They haven't lost since February the 2nd. And they had a bunch of losses, even to some conference type opponents before that. But they also haven't. I mean, they don't have any. They don't have any wins against anybody that you would think would challenge Tennessee.
Right.
So,
I mean, Davey mentioned the teams that beat them, and it was all double digits, and really even those teams weren't that good. Like, right. Penn State beat them by double digits? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was 11.
Among this year's number 15s, three of the four finished in the top two in their conference during the regular season. Abilene Christian, Colgate, and Montana. Bradley tied for fifth place in the Missouri Valley Conference. Just an update on this year's 15 seats.
All right.
Cool. Easy. No problem. Now we just got to wait and see if Cincinnati takes care of Iowa. Do they play before we do? Or will they play after? Same time?
I didn't.
Surely they can't play before us, right? Wouldn't we get the earlier game out of those two? Aren't we supposed to get like a little bit of extra time?
Hold on. I sent the schedule to the message
last night. I would think that the better seed would play first, right? And that way, that's why you never have a one seed playing at the like really late slot.
First game in Columbus is Iowa versus Cincinnati. It's at 12:15 Friday. And
so
of course, Tennessee is the one after that. So roughly 2:45 tip. The third game in Columbus is Washington versus Utah State.
And a completely different bracket.
That's
obviously.
That's at 6:50. And so then the Iona versus North Carolina would be the final game in Columbus.
So it seems like they put the better game second. At least they did in those two.
North Carolina getting the late game.
All you Vol Hills, head on over to Columbus.
Damn. Get a doubleheader, baby.
You can see both.
Hate to know what it'll cost you, but go for it.
I look back at, I remember when they were thinking the Vols would get the one in Columbia, and it's $240 a ticket in like the upper deck. And I think that's just the first round. That doesn't include.
Oh, really? I was going to say, well, if you get both rounds, that's not bad at all. That's just first round. How many games would you get that day? Four?
Four.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, but it's like 1 versus 16 and
8, 9.
Yeah.
You could, when I looked at it, you could buy them both ways. You could buy like all of that, or you could buy like one pod, both sets. It was, there were lots of different ways to buy tickets, so it's kind of weird. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Ryan on the horn. Ryan, what's up? You're on Three and Out.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. You all right this morning?
Not really. But not after yesterday. But I was whenever the bracket came out, I kind of saw the matchup with Auburn coming just because I knew that Florida was going to give LSU another tough game like they have all year. But that Auburn's like the worst team. Like that kind of style of team is the worst team that we match up against. Yep. And when I looked at the bracket when it came out, I was first a little bit not happy because Cincinnati got underseeded, and I thought that was a bad matchup for us in the second round. But honestly, looking at the bracket, there's not a team in that in the whole, like in the South region, that kind of scares me as far as like 3-point shooting and stuff.
Not one that, you know, is talented enough everywhere else to beat you. I mean, Colgate shoots it well, but as far as all the other teams, it's like these teams are good, but they're not just, you know, hoisting 35 to 40 a game.
Right, and Auburn's guards are so quick. We can't stay in front of hardly anybody anyway, but when you throw out Jared Harper and Bryce Brown, they're just so quick twitch, and they're just so fast that we can't stay in front of them. And then, like Nate was pointing out, like, as far as how we switch and stuff, I mean, it was just, there's just no way we were going to win that game unless we shot lights out, because we just match up with them so, so badly.
Yeah, and that was an adjustment that Pearl made to what we did defensively. Like, he saw we were switching everything and just said, okay, well, we're going to run just a ton of ball screens and get the matchups we want inside and outside. And
right.
So why we didn't adjust back to counter the adjustment is beyond me.
Yeah, and I think in the tournament, our toughest, as far as until you get to the Elite Eight, I think the toughest matchup will be Cincinnati, because I watched a little bit of their game against Houston, and they have a guy, I think his last name's Cumberland, and he's a really, really good player. I think he was the player of the year in that conference, actually.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, but how? What? I haven't been able to listen too much this morning. But where are your guys' I guess early predictions or early feels for how we're gonna make out of that region?
Nate, you want that one first?
I mean, the first thing I thought was that I think it's Tennessee, Virginia, I think it's chalk in the South, and I'm probably not picking Tennessee to beat the Cavaliers if I have to put my mortgage on it. But I do think Tennessee probably has as good a chance to beat Virginia as they would have had against any of the other top, 4 to 5 teams. I mean, you take your I know Virginia hasn't lost much, but they do shoot the three well also. But it's kind of funny. They're actually not as quick twitch as Auburn is in terms of penetrating and getting to the basket. I mean, they can, but they do it in a different way. They do it with Jerome and what's the 3-point shooter, Kyle Guy, those they almost get to the basket with angles and with length and with ball movement more than just spreading the court and just like Harper just going to the basket for Auburn. So I think the draw is about as good as it gets. You're always going to have a few landmine games that you have to just kind of get through, and Cincinnati might be that one for Tennessee. But I love the region, their opening game in the regional against the winner of Villanova, St. Mary's, Purdue, or Old Dominion.
I like that one a lot.
Like, that's about as easy a teams as you could have picked, especially to match up against Tennessee. So you're going to beat Colgate. Cincinnati might be a little bit of a landmine, but when you look at some of the other sevens, it's not really that bad. And then that next round's as soft as it gets. And then you're into a regional final against Virginia. And if you're in a regional final, it's going to be somebody good anyway. And hell, I guess there's a chance, because it's Virginia and because they play a lower scoring style, that maybe Ole Miss gets them in round two.
That's the one
Kansas State gets them in the,
could Ole Miss
round
just
three.
Bury a bunch of threes, because they're very capable of that against Virginia. And maybe, maybe the Rebels pull the shocker. And then after that, I mean, you'd be looking at potentially a rematch with Ole Miss to go to the Final Four.
Or like Wisconsin.
And on the other side, Wisconsin or Oregon, they snuck in. Kansas State's pretty good. Didn't Vanderbilt keep it close with Kansas State? Am I misremembering that? Or was there an SEC team that beat Kansas State? Obviously, if you're facing off against Virginia for a chance to go to the Final Four, that's a tough game. But really, Cincinnati in round two, get by that one, and I think you feel pretty good about your chances to get to an Elite Eight.
Kansas State want to share the Big 12 title.
True.
Yeah, and one thing I want to point out is that game against Kentucky Saturday was huge, because if you think about it, we probably would have swapped regions with them had we not won. And if you look at their region, it's a nightmare for us, because we would have probably had to play Wofford in the second round. Mm-hmm. And then you got Kansas over there and Auburn over there, and North Carolina is the one seed. I mean, that's going to be really tough for Kentucky to get through that.
Yeah, obviously we were talking about maybe a win over Kentucky gets you a one seed. I think if you beat Auburn, you probably steal Gonzaga's one. But if everything else kind of goes chalk with that, I'm okay being the two in the South.
Well, thanks for the call. That's a great point. I literally had not thought about.
But by beating Kentucky, you're all where you are now. But if you had beaten Auburn, you're over there.
What he's saying is, if you lost to Kentucky,
that's what I'm saying.
Bad.
Like, if you had lost to Kentucky, or if you had beaten Auburn, you're probably the one in the West with Gonzaga as your two. So then you're still over there with, maybe at that point Auburn doesn't go, and obviously Kentucky wouldn't, but you're still in there with Wofford. It's at least, depending on how things shake out.
Yeah, but Wofford's going to be a
seven.
No, sure.
I'm just saying, I'm really okay with Tennessee's draw. Like it.
Kansas State lost at Texas A&M 65-53.
That was it. It was A&M, who's weird. Awful.
It's really weird.
Beaten by 12?
Yes.
A&M won six games this year. They beat Kansas State? Interesting.
Kansas State does
not very good.
No.
They're just not very good.
Their only conference losses. They got.
I don't know. Seems like they were better in the middle of the year when they were beating Iowa State and Oklahoma and Texas Tech, and then later they lost to Iowa State and lost to Kansas, lost to Iowa State again in the tournament. I don't know.
They did beat Vanderbilt in non-conference play.
A little Jekyll and Hyde there for Kansas State.
Okay, what was that score?
69-58.
Okay, so it wasn't as close as
it's right before Christmas.
Yeah.
All right.
So they played A&M and Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Okay.
That's their to get a feel for how they fared against SEC teams. Oh, they beat Missouri too. 82-67.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what had happened if Tennessee had beaten Auburn. I don't know if they would have become a one in the Midwest, a one in the West, or if it was just all decided already. But if you had lost to Kentucky, you definitely could have ended up in Kentucky's slot in the Midwest, and that would have been just a train wreck. I mean, that would have been Abilene Christian, Wofford, the best three-point shooting mid-major.
Yep.
And then you're looking at like a Houston or Iowa State game in the next round. And then North Carolina, who I think may be the worst. I mean, you know, I hope Tennessee gets a shot in North Carolina. That means it's in the Final Four. I'll take it there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad not to have to see that beforehand. That's a great point by Cole.
Do you want to make any 1/16 bets this year, Nate?
Well, you know.
Do you?
Ronrico White is on the coaching staff at Gardner Webb. That's Tony White Sr.'s second child. And so.
You going to do it or not?
No, I'm not going to do it. Kidding me?
I was just curious.
History was on my side. Right now, the one seeds are 135-1 versus 16 seeds.
Do I get 30 more years?
Yeah, you want a 30? You want another 30-year window
there,
30
Hudson? More years?
I told you double or nothing at the end of last year. I'm going to still throw that out there.
No. No, I don't. I don't think it happens this year.
All right.
No, you get another 30 years.
Oh, okay. Maybe Iona, North Carolina. What's the most likely one? I think I felt good about one last year. It was not the one that happened. That was why I brought it up.
It's amazing that I still think that's like one of the funniest things to happen on this show. Got a 30-year window, and it happened day one.
It wasn't even close either. I always thought it'd be some buzzer beater. It'd be some crazy ending. It'd be like a choke job or something.
It's just your average 20-point win.
If you dropped an alien in on that Virginia UMBC game, they'd have been like, man, these Labrador Retrievers over here, man, they must be... Must be a Final Four contender. I mean, they shot lights out. Wasn't even close. Incredible. Final segment of the program. Right back at you here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, Three and Out. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union as they celebrate 85 years here in East Tennessee. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com.
It wasn't all bad news yesterday.
It wasn't?
No. The Bassmaster Classic wrapped up in dramatic fashion.
Well, I'm done. I'm done with
dramatic fashion. Your day one leader, Knoxville man, Ott Defoe. Slipped a little bit on day two.
I thought it was Defoe.
Oh, yeah, Defoe. Defoe, Defoe, whatever.
I listened to the announcers on Saturday.
Go foe yourself. Anyway, as I was saying, he scraped by. Five fish, about 10 pounds. Not very good. He was not happy Saturday night. But yesterday, Ott Defoe, 18 pounds, 14 ounces, to win the Bassmasters Classic in his hometown in front of a full, I might add, Thompson Bowling Arena, 3 days straight for the weigh-in. Officially the highest attended Bassmaster Classic of all time. Knoxville put on a show. Put on a show downtown, the convention center, swung by the expo on Friday. Oh, it was amazing. And then our boy, local man, Ott Defoe, with 49 pounds, 3 ounces, bests Jacob Wheeler, who technically is also a Tennessean. He moved down here a while back because he loved fishing here. Good man. Bested him by about 4 pounds, held up the big blue trophy. And this is kind of the last big Bassmaster Classic until they, I don't know, figure something out. Because all of the pros are going to that other league. Big win.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I've told you this before, I thought. There's another league now. It's called Major League Fishing. And all the guys who fish this classic, basically all the big names, they're fishing that now.
No.
They all left. They basically started an all-star team. It's the best 80 anglers in the world, and they're all going to go fish this other league.
So it'd be like if somebody started a new football league, but instead of taking the low end guys, said we're going to have the 8 best teams in the NFL made of the best players from all 32.
So this was the last big. So this would be like winning the last Super Bowl before the NFL turned to junk.
Oh, goodness,
impressive, right? Did it on his hometown.
Great, it's a dream come true. He said,
"Of course, dude. He was bawling on the stage. It was awesome.
Was this his first Bassmaster Classic win of all?
Yes.
You know, at all?
First one. He's won other events.
Yeah,
but this was his first Classic win.
First Super Bowl victory, basically.
Funny story.
Trophy
day two. He's so upset because he went from 20 pounds to 10. Only caught half of what he caught on the first day, and he knew it. So he's sitting there in the weigh-in line, and he told this story on stage right after he won. And he said, I had to pee so bad, I couldn't see straight. They were holding him back to weigh him in late because he was the day one leader. Says he sees a port-a-john, gets out of the boat, runs over there, and another angler, Keith Poche, a Louisiana man, gets out, and he's kicking rocks because he had a bad day. He's upset. And Keith Poche said, I'm on some fish. I just missed them today. They're in this marina under this boat dock. If you're looking for a couple of bites, I'd go there and give it a shot. And Ott said, you know what? I'm fishing down in that area. I'm going to go give it a look. He ended up weighing in 4 of his fish yesterday from that spot. Ott said, God used a full bladder and Keith Poche to get me the classic victory on my home lake. Great story. Just fantastic. I've had the privilege of meeting Ott, talking to him a couple times. There is not a finer man in the sport, maybe in the world. Congrats to him.
He's talking about day two. He said, but the fact that it just didn't work out for me, that caused me to just scrap it all. I just went fishing today, and that's exactly what I needed to do.
He said, God will humble you when you need it most. He said, I was on top of
went fishing.
I was on top of the world after day one, and I needed to be humbled so that I would change what I was doing. And that's exactly what happened, and that's exactly what he did. And now he's the Bassmaster Classic champion. Mm-hmm. Congrats to Ott Defoe. Knoxville, it was a great weekend. Bearden winning the state.
How about that?
A Knoxville team.
First time
going
ever.
Going to Murfreesboro and cutting down the nets.
Drew Pember and Tennessee's commit.
Yep,
beat
yep.
James Wiseman, Memphis's number one player in the country commit in the state championship, and it wasn't even close.
So clearly what this means is Pember greater than Wiseman.
Yep.
There is no debate. It's a pie the minute you put your fist in the dough.
Shout out to Quez Glover and the other Bearden Bulldogs, too. They were
great season for them.
It was unreal.
What was their record? Did they lose?
Yeah, well, they played a really tough schedule, which really helped them in the state tournament. I mean, they won the Arby's Classic, though.
That's right.
And then they also found out something really unique. You remember that picture going around with the guy in the Tennessee hat and the Alabama full zip at the SEC tournament?
Yes, I do.
Pretty sure that was Mark Blevins,
former Bearden basketball coach,
now coaching in Alabama. Kind of makes sense. And he never really had a team. He's more of a my team is the team. Pretty wild, huh?
I think the Confederates were his team. Big Civil War guy. Not really. He does the reenactments, though. That's why I said that. So, see, it wasn't all bad for Knoxville. All
right.
If we'd had the SEC tournament here, we'd have won the damn thing.
It was here. It was in Tennessee. Oh, it was Nashville, Tennessee.
You know what I mean.
Optimism Tuesday tomorrow. We get you set for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, tomorrow we spin it. We spin it backwards.
All four tomorrow. Talk Sports is next.
I'll be cooled down by then.
Okay. All right. We'll be set to go, locked and loaded. Tune in again then. Hope you have a good one. You've been listening to 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.